You're listening to True Crime, True Story Network. Camden, New Jersey, with another Hope Shot. So I'm coming to you today with the topic of grief. And how do we get through grief? You know, grief is something that we all experience, whether it's the loss of a loved one, loss of a job, anything pertaining to loss, you know, we can experience grief. My grief topic today will pertain around how I have been dealing with grief and, you know, just experiencing this no matter what kind of attitude. I have experienced so much grief in the last 6 months. And it hasn't been easy. And people ask me all the time, you know, Nika, how are you dealing with that and still going to work and, you know, still, you know, pouring into people and just doing what you do and just being so vigilant and resilient, you know? And I tell them that it's something inside of me that I can't explain, but it has to come from a loving and caring God. You know, I think for the most part, losing my daughter, the way that I lost her, really set the stage for any other loss that would come my way in the future. I think that loss prepared me wholeheartedly, you know. I feel like nothing could top the loss of my daughter. So anything after that loss, not that it wouldn't affect me, but I would have already went through the fire. And now I have a different level of acceptance with any other loss that I'm yet to experience. This topic for me is challenging because I am a, believe it or not, sensitive person. And you know, the content that I want to discuss today, you know, has to do with my loved ones. You know, I lost my sister 3 months ago. I lost my daughter's father 2 weeks ago. Prior to that, I lost an aunt and I lost an uncle. And all of it has been emotionally and mentally challenging. However, I understand that I am charged to move forward, you know, to continue to allow my life to go round. You know, being home, sinking in depression, feeling sorry for myself, it's not an option. You know, I make sure I attend support groups. I talk about my thoughts and my feelings, you know, concerning the loss. Because, see, I understand that if I dwell on the loss, I can become very depressed. And in my past, I have had very depressive episodes where I didn't even want to get out of bed. You know, I even thought of suicide a couple of times, you know. But the spirit in me always reminded me of how special I was and how much I had to live for and what I needed to fight for. So as a result, you still see me here, right? You know, and also keep in mind that I have not utilized a controlled substance in almost 14 years. This month on the 21st, I will have 14 years clean from all mood and mind altering substances. And that's a gift, because what I do know is if I did not give myself the opportunity to utilize the 12-step program that I'm a part of, I would not have the tools that I have today to endure all the things that have come to destroy me. I just learned how to use those tools in a positive way. And you may think, Nika, what are those tools? Well, I can't utilize a controlled substance, because what happens is I become under the influence of a negative and lower power. So in a sense, I lose myself. I don't even have a chance or opportunity to even fight, because the lower power has dominated me. So when these type of things occur and I'm clean, my chances are higher that I can recover from the loss. And so I go to these 12-step meetings and I express how I feel. I express my thoughts. You know, a lot of times I have expressed anger, resentment. I've even expressed rage. And these people have loved me despite of. And guess what they say? They say, hey, Nika, it's okay. Me too. It's something about not feeling alone. I don't ever have to feel alone again in anything that occurs in my life. So when I hear a me too, and I see this person in a positive light, it gives me hope that some moment in time, I'll be able to experience the peace that they're experiencing. And so I'm real careful of my company. I'm real careful of the company that I keep, because I know when I'm fragile, I'm vulnerable, I'm sensitive, I feel like a deer in headlights. And so my discernment reminds me that I can't surround myself around wolves because I'm easy prey. I have to surround myself around loving and caring people who have the ability to nurture me in the place that I'm in. I get emotional when I think about how far the Spirit of God has brought me through all that I've been through, and how He uses me to pour into others. And I'm so grateful for this platform, because it allows me to be human. It allows me to be transparent. and let people know you are not alone. You're not the only person that experiences wanting to off yourself or just bury yourself in a hole. You're not the only person that lost a mom or dad. You're not the only person that lost a child, a significant other, an uncle, grandparents. Death is a part of life. And that's what I realized today. Because we all got an appointed time, right? We all have an appointed time. We all leaving here. We just don't know when. And so what I'm learning is to make the best of my life here on earth. You know, I would like to believe that I'll be here a long time. As long as I keep my spirit right, my diet good, you know, not exceeding a whole lot of stress, and, you know, not giving up on myself, I'll live a long time, and that's just what I'm going to believe. You know, the lower power, who we like to call the devil, the Satan, the lower power is the one that whispers those negative thoughts and make us believe that is our thoughts about ourselves. And I just don't want to give him that kind of power, because I know whose I am, and I know who God said I am. And the bottom line is, no grief will take me out of here. I refuse to pick up a substance and do what? It's not going to bring my daughter back. It's not going to bring my sister back. It's not going to bring my auntie and uncle back. My mother, my father, none of them. The more that I stand against the challenge of what life is, and I don't put a controlled substance in me, it makes me stronger for the next thing that's coming down the line. I will not give the lower power my power. You know, over a 14-year period, I've got my power back. I've gotten my integrity back, my self-respect, my worth, my value. You know, I think about my daughter who passed away at the age of 16. She didn't even get to finish high school. And so when I think about that, I say, wow. And here, I'm still here on earth, a recovering addict. I got to go back to school, get my high school diploma. I got to attend community college and get an associate's degree. And I furthered my education and attended Rowan University and received a bachelor's degree. And let me say, the whole time I was in college, I had a heavy heart. My mental health issues was on an all-time high, but I refused. I refused to allow that to be an excuse to not attend school. I kept my eye on the prize, and the prize for me was to walk across that stage with that sash around my neck and that cap and gown on, and hear them call my name. Because for so long, an act of addiction, just going to school, period, was so far-fetched. And for me to go through all that I have gone through and continue to persevere was just amazing to me. And it let me know that you're going to be okay. Once you get this degree, you'll always be able to get a job. It was like a foundation but I couldn't do it until I put the substances down. So I serve in a psychiatric community today. I do one-on-one sessions with people that struggle with mental health and substance abuse, what we like to call dual diagnosis. And I don't look down upon these people, because at one point in time I was them. And I let them know that every day that we do a group or we do a one-on-one session. And I look at that as a way that God utilizes me as a vessel, maybe 5 and 6 times out of the day. To each person that I encounter, this is the person he has chosen to work through me to help them. So it's not about me, but it's about God working through me to help prepare them for the outside world. And so I've even gone to work with a heavy heart, you know, especially, you know, when I lost my sister. You know, I shared with them what I felt, what I was thinking. And a good thing about my position as a peer recovery specialist is that I get to self-disclose. You know, so it's not inappropriate for me to be transparent. I am mindful of some things that I can't, that I refuse to share. They don't, you know, need to know every little thing about me, but I give them enough to let them know that I am human, that I do go through. And because I'm not using, it increases my chances of recovering. And when I stand before those patients and they see, you know, my picture or my mugshot from many years ago, and they compare that picture to who's standing in front of them today, you know, the tears just start rolling. Or they'll say, "Wow, thank you, Miss Nika, just for coming to work today. Miss Nika, you do so much for me." And so that's when I know that getting out of that bed that morning was worth it. My job is not all about a paycheck. Of course I need a paycheck to make my world revolve, right? But if I'm just doing something for money, it doesn't fully benefit me. What about my spirit? So each one-on-one session, each group, or each individual conversation that I have with a staff member, with a patient that revolves around their mental health and their substance abuse issues, or just life on lifetime stuff, it comes from my heart and my spirit. And that's what allows me to be so effective. And so I'm grateful that God uses me to show people that giving up is not an option. You give up on yourself and life is going to continue to life. No, you learn how to adapt to life's challenges. And how do you do that? Well, I would say support groups. I would say, you know, find a person that is loving and caring and nurturing, that you actually trust to talk about your feelings, you know, about your grief and loss, because holding it in is not good. It's not. It keeps you, it's like a cancer to keep you sick inside. And there's times where you can lash out at other people and they don't even have anything to do with what's going on. You know, it's called misdirected anger. So we got to be careful of that. But I tell you one thing, what I have come to find, the more that I talk about how I feel, you know, and not tell people what I think I want them to hear, or concerning myself of what their response is going to be because of what I'm going to express or share, I feel more free inside just by letting it out. So yes, I'm hurt. I'm hurt that my sister's not here. You know, her children are being cared for. And here's the thing. I've had to take care of myself through this. You know, also my daughter's father passing away was also a challenge because now I have a grieving teenager at home. But here's what God has done. He has shown me that the pressure is on, that more is required, Anika, my daughter. Your daughter only has you now. And so I need you to learn more about me. We need a working relationship. And in that working relationship, you're going to find the strength to help your teenager who's grieving the loss of her father. You're going to have to spend more time with her. You're going to have to monitor her feelings and her thoughts more. So we went to church this Sunday because what I understood was that if I allow her to stay glued to her bed and I'm in the other room, just in another space, the lower power has won. And so this past Sunday, when God told me that I was chosen and I was charged to do a certain thing, I got my kid up and I said, let's go. We're going to church service. And listen, just because you go to church service don't mean that your life is going to change right away. You have to have the right motive for going to church. And our motive was to get the message that would carry us out through the week. And I felt really good, you know, taking my kid, you know, and getting the message that we got. Her attitude was different. My attitude was different. We prayed together last night. And she went to school. She didn't stay in bed. She just put her father to rest. Friday, she got up and she was gone. She was out the door this morning. And I'm here in the studio this morning. So no, we're in refusal. We're not going to just let the lower power dominate us because our hearts are heavy. Journaling is good. Therapy is good. I'm back in therapy. And I'm okay with saying, yes, I'm in therapy. You know, it's crazy to me that people are embarrassed to say that they need therapy or that I go or I attend therapy. When you start to feel embarrassed about that kind of topic or discussion, you're concerning yourself with too much of what society's expectations are. That's too much. You should be the most important person in your life. Because listen, life going life. You better get some therapy. I just got to say I'm just grateful for what God is doing in my life and all that he's going to do. And everybody that has pre-deceased me, they are not suffering. They're in a better place, as they would like to say. And the better place for me is at peace. That's what the better place for me is. Better place is at peace. My sister could not survive her injuries. My daughter's father was physically suffering. My uncle was suffering. And my auntie, she just made some bad decisions. But the bottom line is I'm still standing. And I will continue to be a vision of hope for other people. So before I wrap this session up, I would like to let that person know that's listening. To always remember that somebody is going through something worse than you. And they have not given up. When you feel like life is so overwhelming, so challenging to the point where you have these strong thoughts of not being here anymore, it's time to get some help. Don't you ever, ever, ever give up on yourself. You are God's child. You are your higher power's child. Whoever your higher power is. And if you don't have a higher power, make sure you get one. Make sure it's loving, it's caring, it's not judgmental. And remember, he works through people. So if your parents are telling you something that you know is right, that's going to benefit you, and you have that defiant and refusal attitude, you in your way. Don't get mad at your parents for loving you and telling you the right thing. You know, and if you are struggling with, you know, thoughts of giving up on yourself, let your parents know. And if you can't talk to your parents, you find somebody. But get the help that you need. It's okay to say, hey, I need some help. It's the pride that gets in the way. Pride will kill you. And you ain't got to die a physical death, but you can die a spiritual death. And a lot of times that spiritual death will make you feel like you want to be physically dead. So don't let pride get in the way of you seeking the help that you need, because you're so worth it. You know, to parents who have lost children, if nobody knows, I know. You know, I read up on a couple, a mother and a father, whose grief was so bad after the loss of their son that they jumped on, they walked to the top of the cliff and they held hands and they jumped off together. And I compared them to myself and I said, wow, look at me. I'm still standing because I refuse to allow my thoughts to allow me to lose my potential and how I can help people. Anything that I have gone through has not been in vain. Anything that I have been through, I refuse to allow it to be in vain. I told my daughter, the last day that I saw her, and I said, baby, I'm going to live for me and you, and the world is going to hear about us. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. But I had a mustard seed of hope and faith that God was going to make a way. And it's always in his timing. It's always in this time. And so what I would like to say is stay the course. Remind yourself you're the most important person in your life. You cannot help other people if your mental health is not where it's supposed to be, if your spiritual well-being is not where it's supposed to be. A lot of people ignore the spirit of themselves. Your spiritual condition is important. It's just as important as your mental health. So if you got to get some self-help books, you can get self-help books off of Amazon. And whatever situation that you are going through, you can type it in the search bar, and I guarantee you there's a book that, you know, is related to your situation. So the bottom line is you have a responsibility to take care of you despite grief, despite mental health, despite your broken spirit. You have a responsibility to recover from that. And drinking, popping pills, smoking marijuana, doing all that, you just dig a deeper hole. and you feel worse, give yourself a chance. Give yourself a break. Do something different. I'm here to say that I am your vision of hope. I'm always going to be transparent. I'm never going to hold nothing back, because my mission is to help you and help the world if I can through my own personal and lived experience. I'm so grateful that I'm being used despite me. I have joint pain and everything. I have a heavy heart. I have joint pain. Guess what? I'm here. You know why? Because I chose to be. You know, so we're going to be thankful today, despite of. So until next time, you all be blessed, and I love y'all. Thanks for listening. So until next time, God's daughter loves y'all, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Every week, the True Crime True Story Network to get today's news on real life true crime.